Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It's the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. I am Bart. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. This is hour number two of the program. It's a four-hour show. Taking a look at the Miles Turner signing and the Damian Lillard waving that the Milwaukee Bucks enacted today. Very interesting stuff there as they have to pay Damian Lillard. The Bucks do $22.5 million for the next 5 years. It's a dead cap situation that we really haven't seen like this in the NBA. Not for this long, not for this much. Like Ricky Rubio is getting paid $500,000 by the Cavs this year, but nobody knows about that. Nobody cares. So this is kind of a different thing because the contracts are guaranteed, and so they're going to get their money at some point. The Bucks are spreading it out. Contracts also guaranteed in baseball, and boy, don't we have fun with July 1st. It's affectionately known across the major leagues as Bobby Bonilla Day. Bobby Bonilla, longtime baseball player. But in 2000, the Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on his deal. But they couldn't pay it at the time. So they agreed to make annual payments of $1.2 million for 25 years, starting on July 1st in 2011, including an 8% interest. Now, at the time, Mets ownership was invested in a Bernie Madoff account. How about that? It all goes back to that. That promised double-digit returns. So the Mets were going to actually make money off of this if the account delivered. Why would you take $5.9 million and then spread it out $1.2? I mean, you're going to pay him way more than you owe him, but this is what they thought to do at the time, and they thought they were going to make money on it. Obviously, you know the name Bernie Madoff, not for Bobby Bonilla, but for scamming a bunch of people out of their money. So starting in 2011... remaining until, when does this one go through? 2035, every July 1st, Bobby Bonilla gets $1,193,248.20 from the New York Mets.
And the Mets
call it Bobby Bonilla Day. And the Mets have embraced it. And it's fun. And it's fun. It's a funny thing that the Mets owe this guy $1.2 million every July 1st. I wish I felt that way. I think this is dumb. I don't understand why this is celebrated. I'm not in on the joke. I'm not in on the fun of it, and I'm not in on the joke. I think I'm a guy who wants to have fun. I'm a guy who actively wants to be enjoying himself rather than not. I want to like things. I want to watch a movie. I want to like it. I want to watch a TV show. I want to like it. I want to watch a sports game. I want to like it. I want to have a conversation. I want to like it. I want to spend some time off doing something. I want to enjoy the thing that I'm doing. I'm not looking to be angry or upset about things. But the way people react to this day, am I off base, Carlos? You're in New York, so I'm sure it was the parade today, or do they only hold that every other year?
No, the noise has kind of died down since Steve Cohen took it over. I mean, there are a small segment of fans that want Steve Cohen to just buy it out. Just end Bobby Bonilla Day. I'm like, hey, just figure out a number that you guys can just really get over this so we don't have to get reminded every single year about it. But this isn't a big thing. Now with the Mets, the way that they've been playing the last 2 years, with the moves that they've made, and the fact that the Wilpons are no longer the owners, because that was where the laughing stock of the Alouettes came from. When it was Fred Wilpon and his brother, I believe Jeff, when they owned the team, that's where everything was just kind of exacerbated. Like this Bobby Bonilla thing, it's very common practice in baseball, but this is always looked at as the most albatross thing of all time. Every team does it. Not a big deal. And I think it's calmed down a lot in New York.
I don't get it because you're right. This happens a lot. This is essentially a deferred contract. Now, the Mets situation is a little more nonsensical because it was tied up in Bernie Madoff. And they gambled and they lost. One thing you don't want to do to somebody who's gambled and they lost is like remind them of it. It's, we know. It sucks.
How do you like that?
How common is this? Well, I'll tell you, it's July 1st, so this is the day that a lot of these guys get paid. Adam Wainwright, former Cardinal, he got one. I'm going to read all these so you realize centering on Bobby Bonilla is a waste of everybody's time. I just don't want July. You know what? I think this is the worst week of the year in sports. I think I'm going to proclaim that. This is the worst week of the year.
Why do you think we're only here 3 nights?
Well, because Bobby Bonilla Day is stupid. And then July 4th, this hot dog eating contest, that's got to go. I've had enough of it.
Yeah, throw it out.
Get rid of it. It's stupid. It's dumb. Joey Chestnut is over his skis. The 1 year it rained, and then he stormed back, and then last year he didn't go, and now he's got his triumphant return, and I'm out of it. I should find the interview I did. I did an interview with one of the guys in the contest because he was in town for like a cheese curd eating contest, and he was just the weirdest guy I have ever talked to on the air. He was like making sex jokes or something. It was weird. So I don't get into the hot dog thing. And then they replay it like 7 times. And I've worked a lot of July 4th, so I've, you know, talked about the hot dog thing. I'm like, oh, you guys won't believe it. Joey Chestnut ate 79 glizzies. All right, so Bobby Bonilla Day. You know what else is today? We're going to sit here, and you're going to... What we're doing right now is... You like that cigarette? You like Bobby Bonilla Day cigarette? I'm going to make you smoke the whole pack. Right now, we're smoking a pack of Bobby Bonillas. Okay, here we go. Today's Adam Wainwright Day. Adam Wainwright got a $1 million deferred payment from the Cardinals today and will continue to earn that every year through 2033. Isn't that hilarious? Isn't that so funny? Matt Holliday is going to get a $1.4 million deferral payment from the Cardinals today as well. He will continue to get it annually through 2029. Brett Saberhagen, which the Bobby Bonilla deal was modeled after, back in 1994, they decided to give him $250,000 every year. He's now 61. He gets that through 2028. Lorenzo Cain is getting a $1 million deferral payment from the Brewers, and he will get 2 more payments of $1 million through 2027. Ryan Braun got $1.8 million from the Brewers today. The 41-year-old will continue to earn the payments through 2031. Oh, by the way, the Christian Yelich contract that the Brewers sign calls for deferrals. He will be paid every year until 2042. Oh, there's more. Manny Ramirez is cashing a $2 million deferral payment from the Red Sox today, stemming from a contract back in 2001. He gets one last $2 million payment next year. Chris Davis, the former first baseman, signed a 7-year, $161 million contract in 2016. He is getting $9 million today and will cash another $31.5 million through 2037. Okay. Are we good? Rafael Devers, with the contract that he's on, he is going to get paid, deferred, from 2034 to 2043. Freddie Freeman, his contract's already got a deferral. He'll be getting $4 million every year from 2028 to 2040. And then, of course, Shohei Ohtani, who is playing essentially on a 10-year, $20 million contract where he gets $2 million a year before he gets $60 million for 10 years. Rob Manfred says that the number one thing that fans email him about is this deferred payment thing seems like it shouldn't be allowed.
Rob Manfred's a murderer.
Especially in the way that the Dodgers have been using it and pulling it off, where, because Shohei's is ridiculous. The guy is making no money comparatively. He's making all of his money in deferred payments. So the point of this exercise is to remind you that it's a lot more guys than Bobby Bonilla. It's actually a common practice in the league. It was never that funny to begin with. And I wish I found the light in it. I wish I found the humor. But I have always hated Bobby Bonilla Day. I always truly have. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I would love to take a deferred contract, but like get all my money just like right now. That's what I would like to do. I'll sign a 10-year deal right now if I can get all the money right now. And then I'll magically lose my voice by Friday forever. Oh, no, I can't talk. What happened? I guess you'll have to AI me sooner rather than later anyway. Greg's in Michigan. What's up, Mr. Positive?
Oh, Bardo, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? They're just taking advantage of the system. You know, the owners make hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm surprised my little Winkler Warriors, you'd be a little bit upset at that. But I see what you're saying. I mean, but, you know, it's the game. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. People are making mega millions. There are people starving in the world. And
why are we giggling about a guy getting $1.2 million a day? What's so funny about that?
It's not funny. It's just the idea that, you know, hey, they couldn't pay him when they were supposed to or whatever, and they made that deal, and that's what they did, El Bardo.
Well, thanks for the economy lesson.
I got to tell you, you are spot on. I can't believe this. Mr. Positive's going to agree with El Bardo on this, at least. I usually agree with you on many things. The Detroit Pistons, we pick up Robinson, we pick up LeVert. They're going to take over where Beasley was. LeVert can play a total game. Robinson is a three-point shooter like Beasley. El Bardo, July 1st, you said that the Pistons will probably win their division, and the only problems that they might have would be against arguably the Cavaliers and the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know if they're in the same division, but you know, all of a sudden, it's resonating because they're talking about it on 97.1. And all I could think of was El Bardo Winkler going, wow, he might be, ESP seeing into the future, portending that the Pistons could arguably win the division and go pretty far in the Eastern Finals. El Bardo.
What are the folks in Detroit saying about Malik Beasley and how he allegedly,
They're really not talking about it because we don't know definitively what they're going to do with him. But arguably, you can say that they brought in Robinson, which he was like, they said that he is a 40% three-point shooter. So, you know, he's going to be up there. He's got 1,200 three-point shots that he's made. It's pretty high up there in percentage-wise. You know, so I think maybe they know something that they're not going to say it. And you know, you're spot on, and I'm very pleased to, because you know how I feel about Detroit sports.
We're not Detroit!
I love my Tigers.
You bail on them for Josh Allen and LeBron James.
Oh, geez. Don't. Hey, that's our secret, El Bardo.
Okay,
that's our secret.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Thank you for taking my call. All my Winkler Warriors, go for your dreams and be looking for me on TV. Love you, El Bardo. Thank you, Carlos, with a K.
All right, Greg is in Michigan, and apparently he will be on TV. Speaking of Malik Beasley, there is an article in the Detroit News tonight outlining some of his financial problems, written by Robert Snell. FBI, just one problem facing Malik Beasley amid $8 million in escalating financial problems. They have claimed that, or they're investigating him for potentially gambling on games. Ex-Pistons player Malik Beasley's money problems ran so deep he pledged his current and future NBA contracts as collateral in one deal and stiffed his dentist. The dentist started seizing part of Beasley's NBA paychecks in February. Malik Beasley was sued in Detroit's 36th District Court for $14,000 in rent at the historic high-rise apartment building, The Stot. Beasley was sued again. A celebrity barbershop with a long roster of NBA stars recently won a $26,000 judgment against Beasley. The dentist that I referred to, Hassan Al-Shahabi of Delicate Smiles, won a $34,000 default judgment against Beasley and started garnishing Beasley's paychecks from the Pistons in February. The debt has yet to be satisfied. So he needs some consultation there. And when you owe a lot of money in a short amount of time, these are the avenues that people look, and he's in an avenue where he can kind of manipulate some money. The dots begin to connect. Everything's alleged. But as I wondered the other night, because this is one instance, and I'm talking about it, and it's come up, but we're all going to go, something's going to happen to him or something's not, and we're all going to go back to normal. But eventually, like, the dam will burst, and there will be a scandal. Because this is the gambling. I'm not saying that gambling in sports is bad. I'm saying it was probably, I don't know, it's probably better when it was sketchy. It's I don't know. I'm just saying this was inevitable. And all these prop bets and guys can influence that without really influencing the game. I can see the temptation. 888 710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. We got a small market problem in the NBA. We got a small market problem in the WNBA. We'll explain next on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Infinity Sports Network. It is time for the Defensive Player of the Week, which is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Their members are the mission, NavyFederal.org. We go to the pitch. Matt Freeze. He is the goalkeeper du jour. There's a little bit of flux there of who the United States men's national team goalkeeper is at this point. But Freeze got the call. It was a 2-2 game against Costa Rica. And in this tournament that they're in, the Gold Cup, a lot of tournaments, they'll play another 30 minutes, but they went right to penalty kicks. And he stopped three of them in the penalty kick portion of the match. They went on to win 4-3 on penalties. Penalties are my thing, he said post-match on the plane ride over here to Minnesota. I was studying penalties. I've been studying them all week, and I was ready for it if we needed. The way that he was able to almost visualize where the shot was going to go was very impressive. And the United States moves on to the Gold Cup semifinals on Wednesday night. So Matt Freeze, the Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, where their members are the mission. I played soccer. I played goalkeeper. Penalty kicks? Impossible for me. I had no shot. Basically, you stand there and you guess. Now you study the other person and tendencies, and you can look at where their body's angling and try to guess that way, but I was very, very bad. In fact, it was a penalty kick that doomed my team from our playoffs senior year, where I finally stepped up after a up-and-down season of being the coach's kid that got the starting goalkeeper job. With some good games and some very pathetic games, I stepped up for the playoffs, and I stopped everything that came my way. Shots I would have never saved in the regular season, I was saving on this night. And then, the sweeper for my team, who was the leader of the insurrection against me as the goalkeeper, there's a lot more to that. And then he was also dating the girl I liked. That was fun. He's on defense. I'm coming out to stop a breakaway. He looks me in the eye, and from behind, he swipes the guy down. Yellow card, penalty kick. My brain freezes. 1-0, we lose. And that is how my soccer career came to an end. So I watch these penalty kicks, and I admire what they are able to achieve in that circumstance. All right. Big game tonight. By the way, those of you saying that Damian Lillard coming to Milwaukee, what did it get them? You know, what a waste. They won a championship, fam. Okay, there's an NBA Cup banner hanging at the Bucks Stadium. They didn't just put it up there for show. They won the NBA Cup against the Thunder, mind you. The WNBA Commissioner's Cup Championship was tonight, where the winning team gets a share of $500,000. And in this game, the Indiana Fever topped the Minnesota Lynx 74-59. The Fever were without Caitlin Clark. She did not play. A groin injury kept her out of this one. Sophie Cunningham, 26 minutes off the bench, 13 points and 7 boards. Natasha Howard with 16 points and 12 rebounds. Leah Boston, 12 points and 11 rebounds. So the Fever win what I presume to be their first ever Commissioner's Cup championship. Sophie Cunningham was in the news. She's been in the news a lot. This Fever team is very interesting. Obviously, they have Caitlin Clark. And everybody hates Caitlin Clark. Not everybody, general term. But a lot of people in the WNBA seem to not like her or not like the attention that she brings. They don't like that they're playing in bigger stadiums in front of more fans because people are coming to see her. It's not like it's a joke. She's good. This isn't like we're voting for Sanjaya on American Idol. Ooh, deep. People want to see her because she's good, but, you know, she gets hard contact against her. It leads to some brawls. And Sophie Cunningham has been one of the players now, newly acquired for the Fever, that has kind of stepped up in that enforcer role. Like, if you are going to try to do this with Caitlin, I'm going to get in your way. You can't just take advantage of our star like this. So they had a press conference or informal interview as the Commissioner's Cup was set to be tonight, and it was. And the WNBA recently, as of yesterday, announced that they were going to expand. They're expanding already to Toronto, and they're expanding to Portland. And they're also expanding to Philadelphia in 2030. And then Detroit, which previously had a team, they're coming back in 29. And Cleveland also previously had a team, they're coming back in 28. And for some reason, Sophie Cunningham gave the answer, and I shall quote, "You want to listen to your players. Where do they want to play? Where are they going to get excited to play and draw fans? I do think that Miami would have been a great location. Nashville is an amazing city. Kansas City, amazing opportunity. I'm not so sure what the thought process is there." She went on to say, but at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're not expanding our league too fast. I think that's also another thing, end quote. Oh, let's re-quote. "It's kind of a hard decision-making situation, but man, I don't know how excited people are going to be to go to Detroit or Cleveland now," end quote. So what do we talk about a lot in the NBA playoffs? The small market. Indiana, Indianapolis, Oklahoma City. You know, these are not huge markets. They are not the best weather locales. They don't have the beaches. Okay? They're not in the big city with the fine dining where you can get a steak at 10:30 at night. I don't know why she said any of this. That's weird. First of all, she's playing in Indianapolis, which is like the same as these other cities. Here's what I have gathered in my travels, is that there are cities that do stand out. Okay? There are cities that are different. New York is huge. You know, blank capital of the world. L.A., of course, huge. Hollywood. But at like a lot of these other cities, they all got their own quirks, and they all got their like cool things about them. But a lot of them are like cities are. I don't understand what your lifestyle difference is going to be playing in Indianapolis or Cleveland or Detroit or Pittsburgh or Buffalo or Milwaukee or Nashville. Oh, Nashville's cool. Why? Because there's like two streets you can go to country bars on. Yeah, a lot of cities have streets where you can go hang out and districts where you can entertain yourself. A lot of places have that. Okay, does every city have a, you know, tiki bar on the beach and it's 80 degrees at 10 o'clock at night with the summer breeze and the ocean coming at your toes? No. But these cities are all good. They're all good cities. There's things to do. There's places to play. There's places to enjoy yourself. Winters can be tougher in some of these cities, but why do we got to put everything in Miami? Put everything in Nashville. These are all fine cities. You go there on the road. I mean, when you're during a season, what you're basically training, you're abstaining from things because you got to keep your body right. I don't understand. It's just weird. Let's not be tearing down cities to build others up, okay? But I find it interesting because it's just another, like, thing that has come out of the Fever's aura. They're a very interesting team. Maybe one of the most interesting in sports right now. Could be a Bartometer. They're a very compelling, a lot of compelling stuff going on with that franchise. And congrats to them for winning the Commissioner's Cup. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti. That's John Gruden and Darren Waller. This is Darren Waller you're hearing right now. Yeah. It is. It's hard to love. It's hard to be free. Oh, wow. He released this video last year when he broke up with Kelsey Plum, the one who probably outwardly dislikes Caitlin Clark the most, it seems. All right. I can't hear any more of the song because when it came out last year and we were playing it, I started to like it.
Did you really?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't know. It's not terrible.
It's better than Young Joker, which is Kadarius Toney, that bum.
Oh, yeah. He's rapping. He's in the game.
Oh, God. Who's not a rapper? Le'Veon Bell, I think, was a rapper. Antonio Brown was a rapper. You have to... I guess if you're an athlete and you have any form of CTE and you take a hit, you're going to start rapping.
You know what my favorite accidental thing that happens to me is sometimes when I'm driving around the city, like, it doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened enough that I've seen it twice. You, like, see people rapping and they're, like, filming their music video. It's like, exciting.
Dude, I live in New York and I've never seen that.
Oh, I've seen it, man. It's like, oh, that guy must be doing his music video. Yeah, I've seen it.
Side note, I'm just eagerly anticipating that Mason Rudolph mixtape.
Ooh. Oh, boy, that's going to put Morgan Wallen to shame. Darren Waller married Kelsey Plum on March 4th of 2023, and then they broke up a year and a month later.
What a fumble.
And then that was the song called Who Knew? According to his Wikipedia, the song received mixed to negative reviews. And then the actress he had in the video looks like her, too. So that's got to be. I mean, everybody processes grief differently. I'm not going to make fun of him for that. Okay? Look, I'm you've got to know this about me. I'm an advocate for mental health. Okay? I'm an advocate for feelings being released in a positive way and not buried. If the man wants to auto-tune himself and make a music video about a woman he was married to and uses a woman who looks like the woman he was married to in the video and then wants to publish it for the world to see, if that helps him, then we should encourage him. Okay? Everybody out there making fun of him. Not me. Not me. I'll never make fun of Darren Waller. Is it because he helped me win a fantasy championship in 2019? That is not relevant. That's not relevant. It's because I'm an advocate for fantasy for mental health. I'm an advocate for mental health. So why am I even talking about Darren Waller? I should probably bring that up. I should probably bring that up. Darren Waller is back playing football. He is unretiring, and the Giants traded him. So here's what's going on. I will be straight up with you about my morning this morning. I got up, woken up by my kid after 4 hours of sleep. I require more than that, so I want to go back to sleep. I was following the news of the day politically, and I wanted to see how that played out. So I was kind of on my phone, okay? And then, as I'm like, I'll look at this later. I need to sleep. Then I get a text that says, Miles Turner is a Buck. And I'm like, ay, Dios míos. And then I'm like, okay, I'll process this. And then I see, oh, Damian Lillard got released. Oh, wow. I can't keep up with this. Then I see that Darren Waller's back. And I'm like, goodness gracious. When does the news end? I say this, our human brains are not meant to handle this much news. So much news. News, 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 news. News, 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 news. It's a lot of news. It was a lot at once. And the Darren Waller thing was like, all right, this is weird. It was a nice little dessert. Darren Waller is coming out of retirement to join the Dolphins. The Dolphins are trading a 6th-round pick to the Giants, who held his rights, in exchange for Waller, but also a 7th-round pick in 2027. The 6th-round pick will be next year. Darren Waller had some really good seasons of football. He started with the Ravens, was suspended in 2017 by the NFL for violating the substance abuse policy. This was after he was previously suspended for 4 games the year prior. So things not going great in Baltimore. So he goes to Oakland at the time, plays a few games in 2018. Then all of a sudden, 2019, starts every game, 90 catches as a tight end, 111 yards. Nope, 1,100 yards and 3 touchdowns. The next year, 107 catches, nearly 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. A couple of years with less productivity, but still productive for a tight end. And then he goes to the Giants, traded for a third-round pick in 2023. And he has not played since, and now he's coming back. When he told John Gruden there, John Gruden, that's via his Barstool show, which it's still weird. John Gruden works for Barstool. Good on them. But he said he'd play for you and then Frank Smith, because he played for Gruden and he played for Frank Smith. When Waller had his most productive careers, the years in Oakland and Las Vegas, Frank Smith was the tight end coach there. He then went to the Chargers for a year, and since 2022 has been with the Miami Dolphins. So he immediately would project to be their lead tight end. The other guys on the roster include Julian Hill, Pharaoh Brown, and Tanner Connor, which is, I think, a naming faux pas. If your name ends in ER, your first name can't end in ER. So with my last name being Winkler, I couldn't have named my kid like, I don't know, Harper Winkler, Peter Winkler. I don't like that. So we stay away from that. We would have probably, honestly, we probably named our kid Henry if my last name wasn't Winkler. We were big on Henry. And now my kid knows a bunch of Henrys. Three of them. A bunch of sixth graders running around my town named Henry. Pretty nuts. Did you have any fond memories? You're a Giants guy. He was there for a year. Of Darren Waller? Do you look back fondly on the Darren Waller times, Carlos?
I am reminded every day when I think of Darren Waller how much of a hack I am. Because I thought Darren Waller was going to unlock another dimension of this offense. I was extremely excited. I have been wrong, like famously wrong, on 2 acquisitions. Darren Waller was one of them. The other one was Kenny Golladay. I could not have made any big of a miss than Kenny Golladay. I was screaming when he was a free agent that the Giants needed to bring him. They needed a true X receiver. We got him. And that last game that he played where he got that one touchdown, I almost wish that that was a game that he just missed it. Like, I wanted his entire career to go whip out a touchdown just so it could be how laughably bad and historically bad that would have been. But Darren Waller, yeah, I mean, it didn't work out. Injuries, you knew that was going to be a thing because he was getting banged up in Raiders and he's got a lot of personal demons. I don't have any ill will toward the guy. It just didn't work out. I'm more grateful that we were able to get rid of the Kadarius Toney and that eventually turned into Darren Waller. So that's my memory of him.
Yeah, the Winkler boys, me and my brothers, we've had guys that we've like not knowingly have fallen in love with fantasy wise.
Mm-hmm.
And Kadarius Toney was one of them, and Kenny Golladay was one of them. We all like reviewed our drafts after, and we all ended up with Kenny Golladay 1 year, and then we're throwing money in on daily fantasy and building stacks around him. And yeah, the Winkler boys and Kenny Golladay, that was a tough one. But congrats to Darren Waller, who's back in the league for now. We'll come on back. Busy day in the NBA. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.